Hey, good morning, church. How y'all doing today? How many of y'all are happy to be here today? Come on. Here we are with what do I believe even when I don't know what I believe. How many of you have ever been there before in your life? Yeah, how many of you spend a lot more time there than you like? Yeah, come on, right? Yeah, it's true. But I believe that the message that I have for you today, I believe has the power to affect every aspect of your life. I believe it has the power to affect your faith in God. How many of y'all would like to grow in your faith in God? How many of you know that's a process, right? Yeah, okay, so I want to help you grow in your faith in God. And so here it is today. What do I believe about... Come on. Tithing. I know, God is like flashing right now. God is like, I am all over this. Yeah, yeah. Tithing. Yeah, so like, why are you talking about tithing? Well, why wouldn't we? Money affects every aspect of our lives, right? It does. And if you don't tithe, we can't keep the lights on. No, I'm just kidding. Come on. I was just joking with you. I was just going with it here. Listen, tithing, and I want to help you understand. Now, why would I want to help you understand? Let me just start here. According to statistics, 43% of people, Christians, who go to church don't understand. Only 43% understand it. So therefore, a whole bunch more don't understand it. And so I want to help you understand something that we talk about in church. Because we talk about tithing, but if we don't tell you what it is, we're ripping you off. Because it's a joy. Now, I'm so thankful. I am very, very thankful. I learned tithing as a very, very young. I was 8, 9 years old, and I delivered papers. That's right, back when they had paper boys. So that's how old it was. And I made roughly about $9 a week, sometimes $9.50, sometimes $9.70. And I remember I'd bring all my paper money home, and we would count it out every Saturday. And my mom, we would count out the money, we would count it out, and then she would say, okay, this is how this works. She says, 10% belongs to God. So we would, and I had a lot of change, so we would count out all the change, and then she'd say, okay, this 10%. Belongs to God. So if it was like $9.50, well then like 95 cents belongs to God. And then she'd say this, she'd say, in our family, we round up. And you give an extra nickel. We round up. And so I learned tithing at a very, very young age. I learned this at a young age. If you need to just turn off the lights or whatever, I'm cool. Whatever you need to do, I'm totally good. I'll be in the dark. I'm just, you know, I'm really, it's totally cool. Thank you for diligently working. And then when I got in nursing school, I got a job making $2 an hour, minimum wage. How many of y'all remember those days? Yeah. And again, I would learn to tithe. I would learn, you know, got a check for $12, $1.20. And when you round up on $1.20, it gets a little more. And then when I got nursing school, I worked for Pastor Gary and washing windows. And I would work one day a week. And on a good week, I'd make like $40, sometimes $45. On a not so good week, I'd make $25 or $30. And that's all I had to live on for the whole week. But I'm just going to tell you, I was going to move the decimal. I was going to give. Why? Because I've watched God come through so much in my life. I've watched God do some miraculous things, and I want you to experience miraculous things. And so if I want you to experience miraculous things, I want us to grow in our faith in God, because tithing is really all about faith. That's what it is, and faith pleases God. So there's a lot of questions about tithing. Isn't tithing in the Old Testament? Jesus never talked about tithing. What if I don't have enough to tithe? What about this? What about that? You know, we have all these questions. And so I'm going to try to help you answer some questions about the Bible today. We are in church. Anybody with me? Yeah, we are in church. We're going to talk about the Bible here. So what is this thing called a tithe? A tithe means a tenth part. It's 10% here. It occurs 32 times in the Old Testament. You find the word tithe. That's right. It means 10%. Now it's interesting. If you look it up in like the Webster's Dictionary or you Google it, it actually says tax. But it's not a tax. Like, I don't know if you know this or not, but you have to pay taxes. Am I right? Like, if you think it's your choice, just try not doing it for a while. But tithing's free will. So people say, well, it's just another tax from God. God's not taxing you. It's free will. You get to do it. It's something that we get to do. We don't have to do. So it means 10%. And there's several places in the Old Testament that it's mentioned about tithing. There's several places. It's over and over and over in different ways. There was the tax basically to take care of the Levites, the priests, the ones who offered up spiritual sacrifices. And then there was tithing to take care of the spiritual feast. And then there was also every third year you would tithe and it would be towards for the alms, for poor. Isn't it great that 35 families received food yesterday? No, I'm saying, like, isn't that good? Now, that doesn't just happen by accident. It happens as a result of being purposeful and planning in our giving. And tithing is a joy. Tithing's fun. Tithing is like an adventure with God here. And I want to take you on the adventure with God. So we're going to go right where I might just start in Genesis and end in Revelation today. Y'all with me? Some of you are like, not so much. Yeah. No, come on. Okay, so Genesis. Let's go to Genesis. The first mention of tithing here, Genesis 14. And there's this guy, Melchizedek, the king of Salem and the priest of God Most High. He brought Abram some bread and wine, and Melchizedek blessed Abram with his blessing. Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has defeated your enemies. Then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth, everybody say tenth, of the goods he had recovered. Now here's what we call the first mention in the Bible. As you study the Bible, the first mention is very, very important. Now, I want you to write down or take a picture of Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 through 7. You can read all about this account. Who was Melchizedek, a type of Christ? And Abram, he was the father of the Jewish faith. Like in the Jewish faith, the whole first parts of the Bible there, written primarily to Israel, God's people. And so Abram was a really big deal. Okay? And so Abram, the father of the faith, tithe, gave a tenth part to Melchizedek, a type of Christ here. And so look at this. It was the first mention, the first response, the first fruits of what he had, and it predated the law. See, many people say, well, Jesus came and he did away with tithing. He did away with all the law. Not so. He did away with the sacrificial law. But how many of y'all have heard of those things called the Ten Commandments? You ever heard of them? How many of y'all think they're still a really good idea? How many of y'all know that it's just if everybody in your schools, in work, in neighborhood obeyed the Ten Commandments, you'd have a better place? Am I right? So if the Ten Commandments are still good, why isn't tithing still good? It's the sacrificial law that I have to please God. No, it's a result of what God has done. And so it predates the law. It was there beforehand. But also, it was the first response. Do you know your first response about something determines what's in your heart? So whenever you're blessed, what's your first response? My wife and I, we were in line at Dairy Queen recently in the drive-thru. Because after all, I don't want to have to get out of my car and actually walk in for ice cream. Come on, somebody, yeah. And so we were in line in Dairy Queen, and we come up, and it's our place the order, just got one thing. It was about $5 and some change. I can't remember the exact. It was $5, though. I remember that. And we got to the window, and they said, the car in front of you paid for your ice cream. And it was like, and I know, you're thinking what I'm thinking. I should have ordered more, okay? I know what you're thinking, okay? Yeah. But we looked at each other. We just looked at each other. Let's pay it forward. Let's do that. It was like we just automatically, just in that moment, we said, yeah, let's do it. And I said, okay, we're going to pay for the people behind us. Because that was the first response. And then they said, okay, so how much is their bill? And then they said it was like $25. I'm like, $25? Like, can you look again? Can you, not the several people, just the one behind me. But I was joking. So I said, well, let's pay it. And so we paid it. And joyfully, like, let's do it. No, I don't know. Maybe the car behind us, maybe it was a family, maybe that didn't have much means and they were taking their kids out for a blessing. Maybe it was a blessing. I don't know. God prompted that. But it was our first response to being blessed was to give. See, what's our first response when we're blessed? Is it to give or is it to like, thank you, I got an extra $5.24 or whatever it is? No, see, first response, so the first response, first fruits, first mention are a really big idea. So Father Abraham gave 10%, okay, to Melchizedek, the type of priest there. That's a really, really big idea. So there's several other places in Deuteronomy. I put them up there before, Deuteronomy and Leviticus. And there's a ton of places, 2 Chronicles, about tithing over and over in the Old Testament. But I want to go to one specific one and help you understand Malachi chapter 3. Malachi's the book right before the New Testament, right before Matthew, roughly about 400 years before Jesus shows up. Okay, so yes, it's in the Old Testament, which is the first 2/3 of the Bible here. And in Malachi chapter 3, God's people were getting out of captivity. How many of you are excited that you're no longer captive to sin? I am. Like, aren't you happy that we're free in Christ? Come on, Jesus died for us. Come on, that's a pretty big deal, yeah? And so they're returning to God's promises here. And so from the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. And then God's speaking here. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Now, you can only come to one of two conclusions here. Either they didn't know what he's about to say, or they knew and weren't doing it. I don't know which one it is, honestly. But again, there's some people in the room right now. I really have never heard of this. I don't know. And there's some people like, I'm trying, but maybe I'm struggling with money, with giving, with tithing. So he's saying, like, so they're like, well, okay, how shall we return? How shall we do this? How shall we come to this conclusion here? And there's a promise, like God's saying, man, if you'll return to me, I'm going to return to you. That's what he's basically communicating here. Okay, and in verse 8, 9, there we go. Will man rob God? Rob's a pretty significant word, isn't it? Is rob, there's some translations say cheat. But everybody who has a driver's license cheats a little bit. Am I right? Come on, there's a rolling stop. I stop, it's just a rolling stop. Am I right? Come on. I mean, speed limits are a good guide. See, I'm trying to use a significant word because in some translations it says you cheat God, but when you rob from him, that's different. When you steal from somebody, that's pretty bad. I mean, rolling stops are one thing, stealing from somebody is a different thing. Okay, so he says, well, a man robbed God, you're robbing me, but you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. There's offerings on top of that. And it says, oh, look at this. Verse 9 is kind of harsh. I mean, this is kind of hard. God, this is God speaking. Ah, yeah, you are cursed with a curse. Welcome to Bridge City Church. Yeah, no, you're cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. And now listen, see, robbing is something significant because the first 10%, first mention, first fruits, predates the law, first response. Tithing is returning to God what is already his and honoring him. It's returning to him. It's already given to him what's his. Are you with me? Okay, let me try to illustrate it this way. Ben plays drums. He's pretty cool. I watched you pull in today. You have a nice car. Where's your keys? You don't got them. You don't have your keys. They're back there. You don't have keys. You're pretty trustworthy.
He drove me.
He drove you to church. When somebody's driving you places, you better be careful. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. And so if I would say, hey, Ben, if Ben would say, here, you need a car, and he would lend me his car. And I would say, thanks, man. And so I use his car all week long. Right? I use Ben's car all week long, and I'm using his car. And then I come back to church the next week, and I say, hey, Ben, guess what I'm going to do for you today? I'm going to give you a car. Is that giving or returning? No, I wouldn't say, I'm going to give you a car. It's a nice car. Now, Ben's hoping that at least I would do is wash it. And put gas in it. But many of us don't look at tithing like this. We look at it as we're looking like, well, I'm just going to give God something. But the first 10% is God's. And so as I bring it back to Ben and listen, I say, here, this is yours. I'm not giving to them. I'm returning to them what's theirs. And the first 10% is returning to God, not giving to God. And we approach it different because we think God should be really happy about my giving, rather than I'm going to return to God what's already his, because we're robbing God when we don't give to him. So if it belongs to God, I'm going to give it to him, but I'm going to give it to him better than what he gave to me here. Now, verse 10. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse. Now, there's a lot of people that say, well, what's the storehouse? In Deuteronomy, it says bring the tithe to your designated place of worship. Bring the tithe to the place where God's name is honored. So again, I'm not looking at one verse, I'm looking at two. Two different places that it's pointing to one thing. So the storehouse to provide for, and we don't have Levites anymore, we don't have priests per se, but we have, okay, the ministry to produce worship experiences and small groups and feeding the poor and doing everything that we do. So I believe that we bring it into the storehouse. Now, you got to decide what you believe. No, I'm serious. You got to decide what you really believe according to the Word of God, because what I'm saying to you is going to be challenged. It will be challenged. So bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test. This is actually the only place that word test. There's other places in the Bible that it says prove me. And it says you can prove it. You can kind of like check it out, assess all things. There's other words that are used. This is the only place that says you can test God. But we all test God. We test God with, well, God, if you'll do this, then, you know, I'll do that. Right? Have you ever taken a test in school? Uh-huh. You bargained with God before. Come on. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. We're in church. Come on. Yeah, so there's a test. He says, this test me, says the Lord. But look at this. You see, the test is like, well, let me just stop at test for a second. I'm just telling you this. If you will test God, you will see him show up. Every single person, 25 years as the lead pastor here, I've put this out there. Go ahead and do it for 3 months. 3 months. Move the decimal point. Give 10%, a tenth of all you make. Give it to God. Watch what he will do. It is hilarious. I have had people walk up to me and say, I'm going to do that thing. And you're going to see. I've had people look at me and say, I'm going to prove to you God doesn't work. I've had literally, and I'm like, let's do it. Every single time, promotions, increase. I have watched people miraculously get jobs, people miraculously get provided for. It is amazing what God does. Why? Because it's faith, not works. If all it is an obligation, we don't need to do that. Like, I don't know why you came here today. I didn't come here today to fulfill an obligation. I'm here, I'm going to fulfill an obligation. This is my obligation. I'm going to do what's right with God. I came here today out of anticipation and expectation that God's going to do something great. The same way is when we give. Whether it's online or at the kiosk, I'm going to give not out of obligation, but out of like anticipation, expectation. And I'm going to give it to the storehouse, which I believe personally is the local church. That's what I personally believe. And then, but look at this. And if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there's no more need. In open heaven. In charismatic circles in churches like ours, this term's used a lot. We're going to believe God for an open heaven. Well, like, what's an open heaven? Does that mean angels are going to come down with their harps? I don't know. Like, what does that mean? No, I believe what that means is there's miraculous things of God that God wants to do miraculously. Revival does things in our nation, does things in our community, does things in our city. Are you with me? So God wants to open the windows of heaven and pour out blessing. Not, we got to get out of our mind, well, if I'm going to give, God's going to give me money back. Listen, go get yourself an IRA if you want that. I'm giving for an open heaven so that God can do something miraculous with us, with his people. And could it be, I'm proposing a question, could it be that we're not receiving God's revival, God's provision to the degree because we're robbing God of what's duly his? See, tithing is spiritual. It's not mathematical. We're approaching it like it's I have a math problem. No, I really, and there's going to be times when you're challenged, what do I really believe? When I don't know what I believe, I go back to the Word of God. This is going to settle it. What do I believe? And I want an open heaven, miracles, people receiving Christ, people experiencing him. Yeah, that's what it is. See, this is what the belief is. God can do more with 90% blessed than you can with 100% cursed. It's a trust relationship, and it's a scary trust relationship. Let me ask you a question. How do you grow deeper in love with somebody or even with Jesus over time? Natalie and I, we're going to be celebrating 35 years this year, and we're more in love because we have more faith and trust in one another. Not just because, oh, it's just always just feels so good. Have any of you been married over 2 weeks? Come on, like. No, I'm serious. Like, it's not the feelings of emotion. They come and go. But it's a faith and belief and a trust that goes deeper and deeper and deeper. So therefore, an expression of my love is a result of my trust. The same is true of God. We grow in our faith in God. And as I grow in my faith and trust that God will do what he said he will do, I increase my giving as a result. So I'm not going to go to Natalie. Natalie, 35 years, been great. I just wanted to rekindle a couple things. What's the least amount I could do for you and you still stay married to me? Doesn't that sound like an anniversary to remember? Wouldn't that be great? I just want to let you know, like, just give me the minimum amount. Like, tell me what I got to do. You know what I mean? Do you still want the garbage out? You still need me to come home? No, seriously, but that's what we do with God. We think the more he loves us and the more I grow in faith, the more I can just do whatever I want. When the opposite is true, the more I love him, the more I grow in trust and faith, and he trusts me and I trust him, and it's a really cool relationship. So the more I grow in love and faith, the more I serve, and the more I'm not trying to say, what's the minimum amount, God, I can do for you, and you still be happy with me? No. It's trust and faith, and if you don't think money is very spiritual and very serious, then I want you to take your MasterCard number with the 3 digits on the back and hand it out to everybody after church. You're going to find out it's a big deal. Or your PIN number to your account. No, it is a trust deal. Am I right or wrong? It's faith, and it's fun. It's an adventure. And it's like, that's what giving is. It's an adventure. It's joy. And I believe that God can do more with his part. And God's going to protect it. In verse 11 in Malachi, I'm going to rebuke the devourer so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil and your vine in the field. Yeah, then all the nations will call you blessed here. Yeah, blessed. They're blessed. They're joyful. They're fun. Man, why wouldn't we want to do this? Do you know what I've noticed? I never find somebody who's tithing and then giving on top of it that's grumbling and complaining. Can't find it. I never find anybody tithing and giving over and above that that actually complains and is just miserable. I don't. Because it brings joy. God loves cheerful giver, and then I find his joy in me. And it's like, it's not mine anyhow. See, but our attitude, there's a switch in our attitude. Am I right? There's a switch in my heart here to practice this. Tithing supernatural grace. It's faith over fear. That's what it is. Listen, one of the best decisions Natalie and I have made over the years is just like, and we had the joy of starting this way. It's like, look, when we got married, it's like we're going to start at 10%. We're going to go up from there. And we have watched God bless us supernaturally over and over. I don't have enough time today to tell you everything God has done. And it hasn't always just resulted in our blessing. But there's been so many times, even we just did this thing, and you're going to hear an update in just a little bit about the One Vision campaign, where our whole church committed to give over and above the regular tithes. That means above the 10%, joyfully. And we said, God, what do you want us to do? We did it. And then, like, we just had three weddings, three kids get married in that amount of time. I don't know if you know this or not, but that's expensive. I'm serious. But we have just watched. It doesn't work on paper, but God has just miraculously worked over and over and over again. Okay, are y'all good there? Okay, are you going to get to the New Testament? Because aren't we New Testament believers? Jesus never talked about the tithe. Glad you asked. No, let's look at Matthew 23:23. Red letters, Jesus talking. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. How many of y'all think those three things are pretty important? Yeah. Okay, good. And he says, you should tithe. Yes, but do not neglect the more important things. So Jesus said, you should. And this is a point in time where if there was ever a time Jesus could be recorded of abolishing the 10%, this is it. If there was ever a time he had the moment, and listen, under the inspiration of God, as Pastor Ben shared last week, and if you didn't hear that message, you got to go back and listen to it, about the Bible, the infallible word of God. If there was ever a time man would have recorded to get out of something, don't you think it would have been about money? Maybe it's my carnal mind, that's it. But it was under the inspiration of God. They recorded just what Jesus said. You should do this, just don't neglect that. So Jesus did speak of it. I don't believe it's necessarily done away with. Now, I want to make you clear. All the pastors, elders, everybody up here on the worship team, small group leaders, team leaders, they all give 10%. We just covenanted together. That's what we're going to do. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you know this or not, as a church, we want to make sure every year we give over and above 10% away. So as a church, we do things. See, I'm not asking you to do something I'm not going to do. And I'm not as a church going to say to you to do something that our church doesn't do. Why? Because I would like an open heaven over Bridge City Church. How about you? Wouldn't you like to see more revival? More fire? More transformation? More spiritual activity? Am I right or wrong? Wouldn't you? I would. And so it's connected here. And so even in the New Testament here, Jesus said, you should do this, just don't neglect that. Yeah, do this. So it's local church giving here. Tithing, that 10% in the book of Acts, they sold everything. And I have people all the time who says, well, I'm not bound by tithing. And I says, listen, I'm not gonna argue, but Jesus did command us several places to give and give sacrificially. Generosity is commanded in the New Testament. I believe tithing is the doorway to generosity. I'm just challenging your thing. So what are you going to think? What do I know? What do I believe when I don't know what I believe? I believe it works. I don't have enough to tithe. Look, it's all faith. It's all faith. So let's look at a couple other places in Corinthians here. 2 Corinthians 9:6. You must decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. So you got to decide in your heart what you're going to give. It's a free will offering. It's free will. But I believe it has to do with faith. And most of us in this room, the reason we're struggling with the 10% is because it's fear. And I understand that. When I'm looking at the numbers, even in my, over the years where we don't have enough, I won't have enough to do this, I won't have enough to do that. As we have given God access to all of our finances, we have watched God supernaturally provide. Why wouldn't I want you to experience that? That's joy. That's adventure. We decided years ago, listen, there's never going to be an offering we don't give to. And there were years of our lives, I mean, five kids, not making a lot. It was by faith. There were years we literally would take change. See, we're of the generation where there used to be coins in your ashtray in your car. Most of you don't even know what an ashtray in your car is like. You're missing out. Now it's in your cup holder, right? And you can't put your cup in it because there's too much change in there. But literally, we knew there was an offering, we would take change. Matter of fact, there were some times we couldn't find change. We'd be looking in the cushions of their couch. There would be times we'd be at friends' houses looking at cushions in their house. I mean, I'm just messing. What I'm trying to say is, we just purpose that God has done such a great work in our life. So we're just going to decide this is what we're going to do. We're going to start here and then put aside more, and we're going to watch what God does. Over and over and over, giving stuff away, giving meals away, and watching people show up at our house with all different parts of a meal, but they didn't talk. It wasn't like they put it out on the food train or anything. You know what I mean? Like it was... We just watch God do miraculous stuff. I want God to do miraculous stuff with you. And that's why I want you to understand this. And so in 1 Corinthians 16, now regarding your question about money being collected for God's people in Jerusalem, you should follow the same procedure I gave to the churches of Galatia. On the first day of each week, you should put aside a portion of the money you've earned. Don't wait until I get there, and don't try to collect it all at once. So in this New Testament principle, we find a couple principles here. First of all, it's purposeful, it's proportional, and it's prayerful. That was purposeful. We're going to purpose in our hearts to do this. I'm going to decide. And then it's proportion. He said, put aside a proportion, a portion of the money that you make. Did you see that? And then we do it prayerfully because it's faith. That's the joy of faith. So it is there. So you're going to have to decide, what do you believe when you're not sure what you believe? It's a tithing, it's a faith issue. It's a joy issue. That's what it is. So I just want to share a couple verses with you. It's a heart issue. Has anybody ever told you, you need to get out of your own head? Have you ever told you that? Have you ever just gotten your head with something? No, I'm serious. Did you ever just get, it's just too far up there. And he's like, I always say it's like tadpoles swimming around my brain. In Matthew, for where your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be. Giving, tithing, this doctrine is about your heart. It's not about the obligation. Natalie doesn't want me to come home on our anniversary and say, I fulfilled this obligation, what do you want? I want it to be an expression of my heart and my love to you and my love serving. It's heart. It's not just there. Let me read to you this next one in Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your... Yeah, do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. I'm inviting you on a faith journey. A faith journey. Now, how many of you have a better understanding of what tithing is now than when you came in? Anybody? Okay. Well, just like everything with faith, whether it's believing God for somebody to be healed, or believing God to go on a missions trip, or believing God to go to join a small group, or believing God, whatever it is, it's all faith, isn't it? And so your question is what are you going to do with that? And I believe we got to trust the Lord with all our, not our understanding. But we do it prayerfully, purposely, proportionately, and we put that into practice. Generosity, tithing is the key to get there. You know, it's been said that the biggest difference is in how we respond to God is the difference between our mind and our heart. Which is going to lead me? Roughly about 12 to 14 inches. Roughly about 12, or somewhere from here to here. That's the hardest transfer we'll ever make in our lives. To believe God is a good God who wants to bless us, who wants us to take a journey of faith. If you're just, listen, I don't know, maybe this is why as a member we just say, look, start with where you are. Start giving consistently. Just give consistently. And then as your faith grows, increase your giving. I mean, it's just like the first time you prayed. The first time you prayed out loud. Weren't you, your palms sweaty, you're scared to death, am I right? Right? Well, you're praying different now than you did then because you grew in faith. Your devotion time with God. You start just reading a couple of verses and it's like that's all you can take. But then you start growing in love with Jesus, and then you increase, you move up to a chapter, you talk about God, you look at it, right? See, every aspect of our life, we grow in faith. When we start coming to church, it's like, man, 20 minutes worshiping Jesus. It's like, this is a long time to sing. But then as you grow in love with Jesus, then it's like, that's all we're going to do? Then, right? It's like, I want more. The same is true with our giving. Start being consistent where you are, and wherever you are right now, move it up a proportion. Maybe you're already given 12%. Well, maybe it's time to go to 14 because your faith is growing. So we ask a couple questions. What do I have to give? What can I give? What can I give up? And what can I believe God for? What do I have? What can I give up? What can I believe God for? If you heard anything this morning that's helpful to you and challenging you in your faith, and you would like to grow in your faith in God in this area of giving, just stand to your feet. I'm going to pray for you right now. That's all you're saying is, I'd just like to grow in this area. That's all you're saying. If you would like to grow in your faith with giving financially, stand to your feet. I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm just going to pray for you. I'm going to believe God for you. Very good. I'm good. If nobody stands up, I'm going to pray anyhow, but very good. Thank you very much. Lord God, I pray, Father, for people that want to grow in their faith and want to grow in their giving. Lord God, let our faith grow. Let our understanding of God grow, Lord God. And I pray for those standing right now, Lord God, that faith in God would grow. Lord God, that their hearts, Lord God, would be more in love with you, Lord God. Just let them see you differently. Let them experience you differently, Lord God. Let us as a church continue to grow in our generosity, in our faith, Lord God. So God, let this word, the word of God, change us, transform us, make us more like you, in Jesus' name, Lord God. And just stay right where you are. I just want to say that God's not only after your money. He wants our whole entire lives. He's looking for all of us. Have you given all of you to him? Have you given your whole entire life to him? If you haven't, you came to the right place. Because that's what this faith journey is all about, trusting God. And in becoming born again, a follower of Jesus is about receiving his forgiveness, which he freely gives because of the cross of Jesus Christ, and saying there's no other way to heaven except for Jesus. And then it's asking Jesus to forgive you of your past, but lead you into your future. And if you're here today, and you don't have a date, a moment, or time where Jesus Christ has become your forgiver of your past and the leader to your future, I want you to experience that today. It's a simple prayer that you just say before God. There's no magical words that get you a relationship with God. It's a heart that says, I want this forgiveness. I want this leadership. I want Jesus Christ to be my all in all. I want him to be in my heart leading me. So God, I just ask you right now in Jesus' name, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, for each and every person in this room right now that needs to make that decision of giving their hearts to Jesus, let this be the day that they change forever, that spiritual transformation is theirs, Lord. God, let it be so, God. And if that's you today, and you would like today to be your day, that Jesus Christ becomes the forgiver of your past and the leader to your future, you want to cross the bridge and begin this new life with him, I just want you just real simply, just lift up your hand. You're not going to come up front here. You're just going to lift up your hand and say, man, that's me. That's me. Yeah. If you want to tap your phone on the card in front of you, there's a place you can fill out and say, I want Jesus to be the forgiver of my past and the leader to my future. You can do that right on there and just say, man, today be my day. Because we want to pray for you. We want to help you take your next step. We want your faith to grow in God. And watch what he will do. So, Lord, thank you for every person here today that made that decision, Lord God. And may there be many, many, many more, Lord God, here at Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. How many of you are all glad you came to church today? Come on, let's give God a great big hand. Pastor Ben, you can come up here. I just want to say thanks so much, Pastor Ben and Melanie, doing a great job as always here. How many of y'all really enjoyed Pastor Ben's leadership here at Brighton Heights? You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
So keep it up. And thank you. You know, thank you for all that you do on a regular basis. Wrap us up here. Hey, right. Thanks so much. Y'all are great.